a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Final horn has sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim Lacombe.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz fall tonight 134-124 to the Portland Trail Blazers. We'll get you some postgame sound coming up. But man, what a performance from Damian Lillard. The Weber State product had 60 tonight on 21 of 29, shooting 9 of 15 from 3 at 8 assists, 7 rebounds. And man, we witnessed a great one tonight, coach.
We really did. I mean, I remember growing up, you know, just through the years, you kind of catch one of these great performances. For me, it was, you know, a lot of Jordan, a lot of Bird, Magic. But tonight, Damian put on one of those shows. You know, it was really the ease with which he scored. We talked about it. Didn't have to go to the line a ton. Made a lot of shots, and that's the way you do it. Make a lot of shots, and he was great. And he's hard to contain. Hard to contain from distance, and if you give too much there, you know, he's getting to the rim.
Facing doubles all night, still went 21 of 29. That's incredible. And 9 of 15 from 3. He's just, he's special. And he absolutely had it going tonight. And the Jazz had no answer whatsoever. The Jazz got 24 tonight from Lauri Markkanen on 7 of 16 shooting. Colin Sexton had 19 coming in off the bench. The Jazz had seven players in double figures. Clarkson had 18, Beasley with 10. Talen Horton Tucker with 12 off the bench, Rudy Gay with 11, Jared Vanderbilt with 12. But I'll tell you what, not enough when Damian's got it going like he did. The Blazers as a team shot 57% from the field. Not only did Dame have 60, Jeremy Grant had 19, Anthony Simons had 16, and the Blazers just were lights out tonight.
Yeah, and we knew, we talked about it, both teams struggling defensively overall. Didn't feel like, you know, Walker had as a big a presence on the game, but when he was out, you definitely saw them go to the rim.
Let's go back to Portland and hear from Coach Hardy.
Coach and does a very good job getting his team to play really hard every night. You know, what started out as a very focused, detailed game for us kind of fell apart in the second quarter from a defensive standpoint. Some of that is mental errors. Some of that is they went 11 for 14 from three in that quarter, which is outstanding. And then I think coming out of halftime again, we just didn't quite have the necessary focus defensively to get enough stops in this game. We did not do a good enough job with our pickup points on Lillard. And then, you know, we were almost double-teaming him the entire game, and he found a way to go away from the double, split the double. So I just don't think we were very detailed in our execution of the double teams. And he's a hell of a player. You know, that's what makes Damian Lillard, is that it's easier said than done. So we've got to just get back home, get to practice, and continue to focus on the little things and not letting scoring bursts by the other team take us out of our mindset in the game. Got to just continue to find ways to stay focused through those tough moments. And I think for the most part this season we've done that, and I have no doubt that our team will bounce back.
Probably kind of stating the obvious, but what could you guys have done differently on Lillard? And, what could you guys have done differently defensively, just kind of on a macro level from the second quarter on?
I mean, I guess in theory we could have sent three people after him. Not sure that would have worked either. But, we just did not do a good job. We're sending a double team, and the person on the ball has to make sure the ball goes towards the double team first and foremost. And he got out of the double off the dribble way too much tonight. A couple times we just weren't locked in on our pickup points. Early in the game when we were playing drop, can do a little bit better job on the ball. I think he hit a couple tough ones, but, we also just got screened a little bit too easily in those moments. So, obviously that's why we started switching and doubling, which is interesting because I feel like he scored more points once we started doing that than the first way. So, we'll have to go back and look as a staff, like, is that the right adjustment to make? He makes three threes off the dribble and pick and roll, and switching and doubling seems like it's going to take that away, and in some ways it may have opened up a lot of other things. So he's a tough player to double team because he doesn't just give in to it, and he gets really low with his dribble. We saw that with Kyrie in Brooklyn, and obviously we did not have very good carryover in those double teams. On a macro level, I thought especially in the second half, on made baskets, we just were not urgent getting back. And we had a period of time there where we scored three, four times in a row, and it seemed like they got dunks after those possessions, just getting down the floor faster. We weren't getting matched up. We weren't communicating and didn't protect the basket. So, again, it's just maintaining the focus. There is going to be a tough moment in every game. You're going to have a moment where the other team goes on a run, especially when you're on the road, and you have to go into the game expecting that. And that way, when it happens, you're not shocked, and you're able to keep your focus on what's important, on trying to make an adjustment and moving to the next thing. I feel like as a group tonight, we just did a little bit too much of worrying about what had already happened, and didn't have enough focus on moving forward in the game. 10, 12, 15-point leads in this league is nothing anymore. With the pace of play and the amount of threes that shot, that can evaporate very, very quickly. And, I thought with like 16 minutes left in the game, we had a feeling that the game was already lost. And, that's something that as a staff, we've got to do a better job of keeping them locked in. And the guys have to also be able to let things go at times in a game. And that's easier for me to say than for them to do. The players always feel the game emotionally way differently than the coaches do. They're the ones in the middle of the battle, and they're the ones kind of front and center. They're the ones having to guard Damian Lillard and execute those things. So they always feel the game differently than the coaches do. So it's just about trying to help them maintain focus on what's important.
Did you feel on some level that you guys were just discombobulated, especially in that second half? One of the examples you use is the ATO, which was botched, which lets you call in another timeout. So, was it one of those things where you thought that was the case?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it again, like staying focused on what's important and staying in the moment, staying present, staying focused on the next thing. Timing and things on ATOs can be messed up, but not going to the right spot to me is just like we're just not focused on what's going on. We're spending the time out worried about what just happened or whose fault was that last play. It doesn't matter. We're a team, and it doesn't matter who made the mistake. It doesn't matter if the error was by the players or the coaches or whatever. Like who cares? We have a mantra with our group: no keeping score. I hate that. I know on this one it was you, and on that one it was me. Like that's just annoying. The season's too long to do that to each other. We're a team, and we're all going to make mistakes, and that's okay. That's to be expected. But we have to maintain that mindset of moving forward as a team in the game. And I think, you know, that was an example of it. I also think that there were plenty of those possessions after we scored, just not getting back urgently, not matching up, not communicating, where our minds are somewhere else. And I think if you're able to stay locked in through those moments, you can make a run and turn the momentum of the game. You know, it seems like we got it back to down like 7 or 9, and you're right there. Like, you're 2 stops away from all of a sudden the game being really close. And I just don't think we had the necessary focus as a group.
I found this on the web.
Thanks, Siri.
Pretty good.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, that was kind of an odd way to wrap that one up.
I was looking at my phone. I panicked. I thought it was like, was that one of us?
You know what? Coach Hardy will often point out distractions in his media availability.
And
don't open the door. Don't let Siri go off. Remember, Tony Jones had that computer issue.
alert. My computer is...
Seems to happen frequently. I thought Coach Hardy had a funny line in there about what to do differently on Damian Lillard. Well, we could have sent 3 guys after him in theory. You know, they did. They doubled him all night. Didn't matter.
And so what was, you know, I think what's hard from a coaching perspective is you only have so many options. And he committed 2 guys to him. And, you know, it really was, when you double team, you're obviously sending 2. So you need to take angles that they can't get around. And much like football, you know, I got to protect the edge, and he kept getting around the edge, and it really, then you're out of position, right? You're out of position. When they did switch, they ended up with some tough things, so it'll be a learning moment, but it's definitely a hard cover for a rookie big when Dame's feeling it like that, because the whole world's at his disposal. He's playing at his pace, and as David said, he's in a different time, in a different space, in a different...
Zone?
Dimension. Zone, yeah, it's zone.
Dimension, I like, though.
That was from, yeah. Zone.
All right, the Jazz fall tonight to the Portland Trailblazers, 134-124. With that, we'll say goodnight to our network stations. Our next broadcast is coming your way on Saturday night from Vivint Arena. Luka and the Dallas Mavericks will be in town. That game will tip off at 7 o'clock. For those of you sticking around with us, we'll have more post-game sound for you coming up right around the corner. It's Utah Jazz postgame. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
2 friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
2 teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The final horn has sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim Lacombe.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe, brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share. MarkMillerSubaru.com. Jazz fall tonight, 134-124 to the Portland Trailblazers. What a night tonight from Damian Lillard. 60. That's right, 60 on 21 of 29, shooting 9 of 15 from 3, 9 of 10 at the line, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, and the Jazz had absolutely no answer at one point, scoring 20 in a row.
And David said it, like the amount of games this year where guys have just absolutely gone berserk, and this was one of them. I mean, to do what he did on the number of shots for him to get 60 and not live at the line, that's another thing I respect. Like, he made a ton of shots. He just had it. He definitely had it going, and he was in a rhythm. Great scorers get in a rhythm. You know, you fight like crazy to make them uncomfortable. We get in a rhythm, and like Coach Hardy said, they kind of threw different things at him, but he was just feeling it.
The third 60-point performance against the Jazz, I believe. The Iceman, George Gervin. Kobe Bryant in his final game, and now Dame Dalla.
Those are three really good scorers, my goodness gracious. Gervin was his craft around the rim. You know, he was like Kyrie. He could release it and spin it and put it off the glass. And obviously Kobe was, you know, he was the thing of legends. Dame put together a phenomenal game, and it's frustrating. I know that's why Coach Hardy was frustrated. David asked the question, but it's not great when a guy that you know can really hurt you really hurts you.
Man, really hurts you. We saw that Embiid performance this year. We saw Kyrie Irving the other night. I mean, we are seeing some. But, you know, the Jazz are vulnerable to some of those performances, I suppose. But it feels like some of those have been much more common in the NBA, certainly lately. I mean, we saw Lowry have the big night not that long ago. You know, Donovan Mitchell had the huge night for Cleveland. It seems like we're seeing this a little bit more frequently. I don't know if that's a comment to the rules or, you know, to the level of defense being played or what the case is, but seems like we're seeing a lot of these special scoring performances.
The game's definitely freed up with that. I really do believe that transition foul was definitely gumming up the game more than we even realized, you know, because teams, you can't just hide behind it. You can't use all those mulligans early in a game not to get back. You've got to get back, and if you don't get back, they score, and it kind of gets the game moving. This game kind of had a little bit of a sticky feeling for about a quarter, and I thought the Jazz did a decent job of chasing Dame around, but it was the second quarter, like Coach said, that everything kind of broke loose.
Yeah, and when it rains, it pours.
And they poured. But both, you know, the crazy part, the Jazz were really good offensively too. I mean, their offensive rating's a 125. Portland was just a 134, and they had a guy get 60. So offensive, big-time offensive night, and defense was an afterthought.
They're both sides of the ball.
Right.
Seven Jazz players in double figures talking about the offense led by Lowry Markkanen, who had 24. Mike Conley had 10 assists tonight to go along with his 8 points. Let's get to this, because I think this was relevant tonight. The Master of the Glass, brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass, proud to present this year's Master of the Glass Rebound Program. At the end of the regular season, Safe Light will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this year's team rebound leader. Coach, tonight's Master of the Glass for the Jazz was, wow, it was Malik Beasley. His first Master of the Glass, Coach, 6 rebounds. That was the Jazz leading rebounder tonight. 6 for Malik Beasley. And the Jazz were beat on the boards 41-35. I guess there just weren't a ton of missed shots, but I don't know if we've ever had a Master of the Glass that low.
I've never seen it. No, we've had 9.
We've had single digits plenty of times.
Six.
But
not
6.
To win it, yeah.
And
good job, Bees.
Walker Kessler had 5 boards tonight, as he seemed as unimpactful as he's seemed in a while. Maybe since the Brooklyn game, he kind of had a game like that. But for the most part, it's been, you know, singing Walker's praises and how he's changing games. Tonight, he's just almost felt like he wasn't there. Only played 20 minutes. Lowry Markkanen, who's been rebounding the heck out of the ball recently, he had 4 boards tonight. Vanderbilt only had 5 in 25 minutes. So, again, you know, Portland didn't miss many, but the Jazz didn't get a ton of boards.
And I do believe that Kessler, like, he was facing a difficult one tonight with Nurkic being as big and strong and physical and skilled. So he's got all of that. So you're getting knocked around. And then at the same time, your ball screen assignments tonight with these shooters and ball handlers, Simons and Lillard particularly, man, you got to be on it all the way through. And I just thought he was thinking a lot. I mean, this was a thinking game, probably a little while Will was frustrated because they put a lot into it. But the Jazz just didn't have a great rim protection. And again, Damian he was unconscious.
Drew, don't call me Kevin Eubanks, was
ever,
the leading rebounder for the game with 10. So This game was not about rebounds.
No.
The Jazz, however, did have 32 assists tonight on 47 made field goals, which usually is a really good number for them. The Blazers had 26 on 51 made field goals.
And I remember, you know, it was early, but we talked, I think it was Bowler talking early in the game, team that kind of is able to get any kind of, defensive presence. But it really didn't even come down to that. It was just the Portland was able to make more shots tonight, put themselves in a different position that way. Lillard was off the chart. I thought Grant quietly had a very nice night. Was out in front of the break a lot, got some dunks. But that's the Portland team. You know, they got to play with that kind of enthusiasm, that kind of energy, if they want to kind of get back in the middle of this playoff situation.
Post game is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some, share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Jazz lose tonight in Portland to the Blazers, 134-124. We'll have some player sound for you coming up next. You are listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my!
Jazz postgame. Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz fall tonight to the Blazers in Portland, 134-124 postgame. Brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. Coach Hardy said something that was interesting. Said the team got caught up in their own mistakes, maybe played the blame game a little bit, Coach, and obviously we're not there and, hearing the specifics of what Coach Hardy has talked about. But have you seen stuff like that in the locker room before where players maybe are on the short end of one, losing one, and get caught up a little bit on what mistakes are made?
Yeah, in the heat of the moment, for sure. And I think that, he's talking about a culture where it doesn't matter. It's us. We messed it up. I think there's a time and a place for every individual accountability, but in the middle of the game, you can't hang your head. You make a mistake, and I think that's one nice thing about Coach Hardy. He doesn't seem to really harp on guys' mistakes. If guys make the same mistake over and over, like the point of a ball screen the other night with Kessler, I get that. But he lets them play through mistakes, and I think they just can't get down on themselves or their teammates and compound it. It's hard enough to win on the road.
Well, especially now at this point in the season where, this is the stretch that's the toughest stretch. You and I have been doing this show for several years now. I've covered many NBA seasons. This point to the All-Star break is when things get tense. Guys get tired. The trade deadline is 2 weeks from tomorrow, I want to say, and then the All-Star break is on the heels there, and that's much more of kind of a vacation than it used to be since they lengthened it out, which I'm sure is a bigger light at the end of the tunnel, which, by the way, I think is a really good thing that they changed that. But this stretch here, these last, 10 or so ball games before you get to the All-Star break and before the trade deadline are just – it's got to be really hard. It's got to be really hard no matter what team you're playing for.
And Coach Hardy talked about it. It's similar in college basketball around the holidays, before you let your guys go for Christmas. There's that whole thing, it's when you're getting close to PTO, you can see the barn. I mean, it totally crosses over. But it's a thing right now that the Jazz actually, if they can be really kind of pulled together, because there's teams that will splinter and there are teams that are worried about trades and there are teams that are worried about whether they're going to get picked to the All-Star game or not. If the team can just focus. And in college, we used to like to schedule big teams around the holidays because we knew their minds would be other places. And if we were strong and we were together, we could actually that would actually be a step in the right direction. So a little scheduling, undercover scheduling stuff there.
Am I remembering that Rick Majerus did the opposite and they played –
Cardinal Stritch and teams like
right.
that.
Right. I didn't want to be too mean to somebody, but didn't he notoriously in those holidays schedule teams that wouldn't require a ton of focus?
That and they would be buddies,
Because
somebody gets payday. Yeah. So anyway, it was totally different philosophies, but we found, you know, like Coach said, if you can be good in this little stretch, I think you found a little nugget there prior to the All-Star game. You can make some headway here as a team if you can stay together.
Pick up some wins.
Yeah.
You know, but they, you know, a few nights ago they ran into a really motivated Nets team. They really wanted that win. I felt like tonight, and maybe this is an easy take to have after Damian had 60, but it felt like he wanted this one. You know, whatever it is, Portland needs to pick up some games. They need to pick up some games to get back in the playoff picture. You know, there's talk about, is Portland going to be a buyer at the deadline or are they going to be a seller? You know, there's no sense in them buying at the deadline and trying to keep it afloat if they're so far out. It felt to me like the Jazz ran into a really motivated team tonight and specifically a really motivated player, whereas the game against the Hornets the other night, I mean, it felt like Charlotte lacked all of the motivation. You know, it's kind of funny on a night-in, night-out basis, but much like the Nets game, it felt like the Blazers wanted this one.
Yeah, it was. Lillard did have that, and particularly when he made a couple shots. He definitely got a little bounce in his step. They have to be tired of hearing people say they're bad, too. You know, what's wrong with the Blazers? We led the show with it. And so everybody's talking about it, and I even suggested maybe they ought to trade him.
Well, I don't think you're the only one, though. Right. I mean, I think that...
I mean, I was thrown out there, but I guess he answered that, didn't he?
Well, I mean, you know, is he good enough with this cast of characters to be a contending team? And I certainly... This game and this was a special performance, but I don't know if my opinion's changed on that.
Well, if he gets 60 every night.
He can go out there and average 60, exactly. Absolutely. Hey,
and
if you run every double team in the world at him and it doesn't really matter, then... Well, Portland's going places, but it'd be really tough to duplicate that performance. Again, if you're just jumping in your car or something, Damian tonight, not only did he get 60, but he was 21 of 29. It's not like it was even a selfish 60. You know what I mean? I think Kobe, when he got 60 against the Jazz, didn't he take 49 shots that night? I want to say, I'll have to go back and double check, but it was something obscene.
It was a lot. I remember that was the everybody want to talk about.
It was something crazy. I mean, 21 of 29, that's having it going. I mean, you're not even sucking up all the possessions at that point. What a performance from him. And yeah, they ran double teams at him all night. Will Hardy was even snarky about it in his post-game comments. You know, they could have, in theory, run a third guy at him, but didn't seem to matter. And he had 8 assists on top of it, too. So when they did double him and he couldn't get through, he found the open guy.
He missed one shot inside the three-point line. It was a little runner on the left side. And then... He missed three shots that were logo, you know, out at the logo. And then he missed two or three more about a step off the three-point line. But those were his misses for the night. He made, you know, threes from all over the place. And those deep ones, the one you said, you know, I was looking at numbers and you're like, there's a logo shot. So I was able to flip around and see this replay. It's one of those nights like, hey, I remember, Jake, when we were together when Lillard got 60. I mean, that's what's cool about watching the NBA. And it's not always your team. Sometimes it's the other guy. But we kind of claim Damian around here, too. So I think we can be
absolutely
happy
for that. We do. Speaking of Majerus, I would love to know what his reaction would be to a player early in the shot clock picking up their dribble from the logo on the floor
and
letting it rip. An old school guy like Big Rick. Or an old school guy like Jerry, you know, you wonder what their reaction would be to the evolution of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I guarantee he likes his way. I did learn that he likes his way.
All right, let's get back to Portland. Time to get a little player silence here from Malik Beasley.
Let's start with the good start. You guys put up some 31 points in the first quarter, and everything was clicking, especially the 3-point shot.
Yeah. I mean, we came out strong. We knew how important this game was, especially for the standings. And we kind of let off the glass. And I think we were up like 15 at one point, and you know, we just let up. We stopped making shots, and then we let that dictate our defense.
You know, if you could look at it this way, you threw everything at Damian Lillard, but it's like a Steph Curry depth that he has, and he took advantage of some long shots and got on a roll.
I mean, definitely, you can't let player like that get going, because if you sit back, he's going to hit the threes, and then as soon as you start hitting threes, he's going to drive to the hole. So, you know, kudos to him, but he did a great job tonight, but, you know, we got to be better as a team, locking in on details.
Did you sense he knew he was on one of those streaks? You've been down that road before, too.
Yeah, I mean, after the second three in a row, And then he hit another one and another one. I just knew it was going to be a long night. I was in the first half, and then he did it again in the second half. So you got to do something to throw him off, either, you know, a hard foul or, you know, trap. You do whatever you can to get it out of his hands and make the other team players beat us.
Can you bring anything positive in this game? Because you went 52% from the floor, you hit 23s, you went 30-plus assists. A lot of good things happened.
I would say we started fast, and then, you know, we always, that's one of our main identities, is to start fast. And, you know, we got to continue that positive-wise. It's a tough night, honestly. Yeah. It's a tough night. The guys that came off the bench did their job. I would say that was a great job, you know. And we just got to continue to get better.
One final thing, you get five at home, and you start off with Doncic and the Mavericks. Never easy, but at least you get five straight at Vivint.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be huge for us, get some wins. I think we at least get 4 out of 5, we'll be in a great spot, you know, making it realistic. 5 out of 5 is perfect, but, you know, 4 out of 5, and we're in a great spot, probably fifth place by then.
All right, Malik, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Malik Beasley, I like what he said there about Damian Lillard. Hey, you got to give him all the credit in the world for having a great game, but they got to be more locked in and more focused. I like that. You know, give the guy his due, but, you know, it's your job to stop him from getting 60.
And David asked us the question, you know, that Will was particularly frustrated at times. The coaches put a lot of time and effort and energy into trying to do just that, and trying to put their guys in the best position to go against the best players in the world. And, you know, they spend a lot of time putting a plan together. And when, you know, Lillard beats the plan time and time again because guys aren't necessarily following the detail of it, it gets a little aggravating. So, I like always, I believe he uses it in a great way in his teaching moment. He doesn't dwell on it. He didn't come into the press conference upset. He's got a great ability to kind of channel that emotion. But something the guys will be able to continue to look at, film, and, you know, see where they could have done a better job of not letting that game get away.
Yeah, we kind of wondered what Will Hardy's demeanor was going to be in the postgame. Jamil came in, and we were chatting about it during the broadcast, and I thought it was a pretty measured response from him. Didn't seem too grouchy about it. Maybe this is one of those you got to chalk up to a great performance and put away those maddening, you know, it had to be maddening for a coach. Maybe you've got to compartmentalize that a little bit and move on to the next one.
You certainly do, but I'm telling you, it's way easier to sit here and say that than to do it. So, honestly, I do believe he has a real, you know, whatever his program or plan or to be able to keep everything in a really big picture, long play view. He's got a huge opportunity as a new coach, but they've given him some time, and I think everybody's under the impression that, hey, you don't got to win championship this year. That's not going to be required. So he's got a little bit of runway, but you want to see things continue to progress, and you're going to have some fallback. And tonight, a little bit of that, you know, but overall, you just tip your cap to one of the great players in the history of the game. And, you know, I like him. I just like the guy a lot.
How could you not? All right, postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse, and each has a unique story to share. Read some, share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Jazz fall tonight at the Blazers, 134 to 124. We'll have more for you. Coming up next, you're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Wow! The outcome is in the books. Let's get to the reaction. Hear from the coaches, the players, as well as the coach, Tim Lacombe. It's the Mark Miller Utah Jazz Postgame Show. Here's Jake Scott.
Jazz Postgame, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share MarkMillerSubaru.com. Jazz fall tonight to the Blazers. 134 to 124, 60 points tonight from Damian Lillard, of course, is the huge story. Let's get to the Chick-fil-A foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards with the Chick-fil-A One app. Tonight from the line, Jazz were only 10 of 15, only went to the lines 15 times. Larry Markkanen led the way. He was 7 of 8. The Blazers, 15 of 18. 9 of 10 from Lillard from the line to lead the way for the Blazers. But again, Damian became the first player in NBA history to have 60 points on 10 or fewer foul shot attempts and 30 or fewer field goal attempts. So 21 of 29 and 9 of 10 from the line. So an unbelievably efficient game. One of the best performances, I think, Coach, we've seen against the Utah Jazz. And just this year, we've seen some good ones. And, of course, over the years. But, man, tonight he was something.
I love to see that, you know, the 60 points, but 8 assists and only 4 turnovers. So, again, there's guys like this, it's almost like they get into the bonus round and they're playing, everything's, you know, slow. They're able to make decisions and pretty much anything they do works when they get in that zone. So it was special to watch. And obviously the Jazz helped it. You know, they didn't execute the game plan. But once you kind of, it's like a stone rolling down a hill, man. Once you, that ball goes through the hoop a couple times and he sees it. Oh man, thing looks like it's a chasm, like a canyon he's throwing a little rock into.
Well, we've talked about it a couple of times when he pulled up from the logo and nothing but net and all the confidence in the world. I mean, it's amazing what guys like he and obviously Steph Curry have brought that, the weapon of shooting the ball off the bounce into this league. How do you stop that?
And early in the clock.
Right.
It was always such a, you grew up playing the game. It was a cardinal sin. You had to come down. Everybody had to get set. And then, okay, now we're going to go. But, you know, it's just that transition. Everybody found out that's where teams get all mixed up and you get cross matches. And it's just a great opportunity to attack. And if teams, you have a weapon like that and they're not picking you up at the right pickup point, let it rip.
Well, I mean, is there a right pickup point with a guy like Damian?
Once he gets out of his car. Right there about the valet.
It's just so crazy. But you know what it is it's so fun to watch. I mean, you know, I as much as I love the rough and tumble 90s, and I think a lot of fans around here loved, you know, the Stockton or Malone, and it was a really hard-nosed brand of basketball, and the league was hard-nosed, and this is so fun to watch. And it may be a little bit of a softer league, or I don't know, but it's incredible to watch these performances and what these guys are able to do.
It's crazy when you go back. I mean, go back and watch a rebroadcast of a game from, you know, the eras gone by, 70s, 80s, 90s, and you see, like, it's interesting to see in the 70s, you've got a bunch of guys who have never, ever lifted a weight in their life. They look like Stretch Armstrong. Long, skinny arms, long, skinny legs, tight uniform. And you can kind of tell the game is starting to get a, you know, there's a presence to it. The 80s, you start seeing individuals, guys start getting bigger, the skill level picks up major. And then you're right, the 90s, like, slam on the brakes. We're going to body check everybody going through the paint. I think we got the game in a pretty good place. You know, I think you fast forward to where we are, there's a lot of freedom of movement. You know, there is contact, but we figured out a way, like, going straight vertical, jumping in the air. That's a nice way to not have to call a foul every single time something happens at the rim. So, yeah, there's always some improvements you can make, but tonight, you know, just shows you how far the game's come. All those elements kind of in one thing and Damian doing what he did.
Well, I hear you talking about it, Locke talking about it. I mean, the spacing has changed things a little bit too, right, where the paint is not nearly as crowded, and so fouls are a little bit more obvious maybe. I don't know what it is, but it seems like without so many bodies in the paint, guys like Damian Lillard, if they turn the corner on the double team, which he did so much tonight, there's nothing that you're doing. You're giving up a layup. I mean, there's nothing back there. They're not running into a crowd of guys, because if you do, you know, we saw it with Terrence Mann in the playoffs and Rudy, right? Or we saw it with Rudy over and over again, where Rudy will defend two guys at once and can't go back out into the corner. I mean, you're going to pay the price. The spacing, the league, I guess, long-winded saying is just so skilled. The guy's going to make shots if they're open.
And that's the evolution of what had to happen, because seriously, you go back and watch Stockton Malone years. I remember when the Jazz wouldn't share the ball great, Jerry'd constantly go to flex. You know, they would get in their spots, and flex is just a continuous motion of down screens and cross screens. And he would get the guys into it until he felt like everybody touched it, and okay, now you can go play again. But it was, you, if you watch the game, it was his way to kind of bring the guys together in a tough moment. But the game was played in in a square of about 15 feet. You know, nobody really went too far out and ventured out too far into the corners. Everything was played really tight just in and around the lane. What this has done, like you said, spread it out, guys get a ball screen. You really have to make decisions because you're on islands. You know, you've got guys you're trying to guard that are well-spaced, and that's where the fun begins. We talk about the blender, but the first guy has to step up and commit, next guy behind him, and then you're just trying to beat the defense one extra pass for an open shot.
You know, and not to have this be the theme of the night, but Portland should be better.
Agreed.
I mean, it's defense, right? They just, you can't truly win in this league without having at least a decent defense. I'm guessing because Jeremy Grant is a player. You and I both like Jeremy Grant. Denver's in first place in the West, so you could argue that they haven't made many mistakes, but letting him go a few years ago, it seemed like a mistake to me. And he's really good for Portland. I love Anthony Simons. He's got great game. You know, I don't know what to think about Nurkic anymore. I don't know if he's a good fit for this club or not, obviously. But, man, it feels like they should be at least a solid playoff team in the West.
Defense, as I look at it, obviously they give up 124 tonight and win. But defense, number one, biggest question. And then their depth. You know, you look beyond that starting five, and, you know, the guy with the most, probably the most any kind of experience, really, Gary Payton. The mitten, if you will. The glove's the son, Gary Payton II. I call him the mitten.
I like that.
It. Yeah.
You're always good for a nickname.
The mitten.
The mitten. So depth, maybe. Depth and defense.
Depth and defense. Yeah, that's their issue right now. But hey, like I said, if Damian can get 60 every night, all bets are off.
All right, your final score tonight. The Jazz fall to the Blazers, 134-124 post-game. Brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. We'll wrap things up coming up next. Stay tuned. You are listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Final box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my!
Are we at any historic level of 3-point shooting here?
That's what I'm looking up here.
Haylen Horton Tucker drives the lane, takes the right hand, packs it, and he's fouled! You can take your threes, but I'm jamming a right-hander right down the cup!
Yeah, and get a 3-point play the old-fashioned way. See, boy, whoever they thought fouled him, I didn't see the contact. Who did they give that to?
There's your play of the game right there. Our guys, Locke and Booner. It's brought to you by Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection. LHMauto.com, driven by you. Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. It's brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at MarkMillerSubaru.com. Jazz fall tonight to the Blazers, 134-124. Damian Lillard, 60 points on 21 of 29 shooting, 9 of 15 from 3, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. That absolutely was the story of the game. At one point, scoring 20 consecutive points as he was just amazing. The Blazers got 19 from Jeremy Grant, 16 from Anthony Simons, and 10 from Yusuf Nurkic. As for the Jazz, they actually had 7 players in double figures and shot 52% from the field. They actually made 20 three-pointers, 20 of 41, 48.8%, and still lost. They were led by Lauri Markkanen's 24 points on 7 of 16 shooting. It was 3 of 6 from 3. Clarkson with 18 tonight. Colin Sexton had 19 coming in off the bench. He was 8 of 11 shooting, 3 of 3 from 3. Vanderbilt had 12 to go along with 5 boards. Talen Horton-Tucker had 12 as well. As Mike Conley also had 8 points and 10 assists in this one for Mike, but to no avail. Damian Lillard torches the Jazz tonight, and they lose by 10. It's funny reading those offensive statistics, Coach, because you combine that with the 32 assists from the Jazz, only 13 turnovers from the Jazz, and you would think, man, they thumped somebody tonight. Not the case.
Yeah, it's you know, tonight was an offensive explosion, really, by both teams. That happens. You know, guys start finding, and I swear to you, shot making is so contagious. And if you're not making shots, that much harder to make them. But 17 makes for Portland from three, 20 from the Jazz, so plenty of shots going in. Neither defense really got any kind of hold on the other. It was more shots went in or didn't go in, it felt like. And you know, a little bit of a bummer, but you can see that it wasn't all bad. The Jazz did some really good things. It was just that the defensive end, and particularly Damian Lillard, just became a real, real problem. And once he's out of the box, man, then you got all those other guys that are just going to score off all of your anticipation of what Lillard's going to do next.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that even the double teams aren't working at all. I mean, 20 in a row. You got to run the whole team at him, like Will Hardy joked, and that probably wouldn't have worked.
You give up a dunk, you know, but he wouldn't score.
Right. So what do you do?
Exactly.
No, that's got to be difficult when a player's got it going like that, and you just don't have. I mean, maybe that's why, you know, guys like the the Kawhi Leonards of the world that are capable of playing anybody in the league one on one are so valuable. You know, LeBron playing defense in his prime and that sort of thing. Because what are you going to do? I honestly don't know if the Jazz could have done anything really to change what Lillard was doing. I mean, they had Vanderbilt guarding him in the fourth quarter at times. You know, put somebody bigger and longer on there, didn't seem to matter.
And it really, tonight should be a, if you look back over the last couple of years, and there were a lot of frustrating things, but like Gobert was so good in those games. Because all he had to do was be at the point of the screen, and then he was so great at giving ground, you know, not giving up the lob, but he had that down to an art form. And the Jazz is right now, Walker's going to go through some ups and downs. There's just no doubt about it. And ball screen coverage is complicated. It may seem really simple, but it's complicated, and angles are important. And you get in the heat of the game, you forget your angles. And that's really what happened tonight. If you watch the number of times they did go through a double team and try to get, you know, Dame corralled, he just beat it. And you beat it, everybody else is positioned to make sure you double and you're going to react. But if you beat it, you know, that's why he's able to get the rim and there are so many dunks.
All right, Coach Lacombe, let's get some final thoughts from you on this one before we turn the page.
Well, a historic night. I'll always remember it. You know, you don't see 60 a whole lot. A really quiet and efficient one. And I'm just glad if somebody's going to do it, it's Dame and a Weber State alum. I have so much love for those guys up there, particularly the staff that recruited him. So good things there. The Jazz need to, you know, just retool. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of film in the ball screen, and ball screen's preeminent. It's what everybody does on the offensive side. So clean that up. Five-game homestand, you said? So get home. And I know the guys have played well at home. Just get on a roll.
Get all that rest. Couple of nights off now. You know, spending all that time at home. I think we've got a two-game week coming up. So
I had to check my eyesight because I thought for sure my wife and I just didn't write one on the calendar. But sure enough, a two-game week.
Seems odd. Well, I mean, the Jazz have just played so many games. And the beginning of the year was just so compact. It was due to catch up at some point. You know what? The team probably isn't complaining about it, I would guess. We want to say big thanks to everybody who helped out with the broadcast tonight. Well, first of all, we want to thank Instructure and the Utah Jazz Most Valuable Educators Program presented by Instructure, the makers of Canvas. Throughout the season, the Jazz and Instructure will recognize 14 MVEs. Each will receive a visit from Jazzbear, a $1,000 grant, a personalized jersey, and
a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.